Welcome to this edition of What's Up Bainbridge, brought to you by BARN, Bainbridge Artisan Resource Network. I'm your host, Bob Ross. Today we continue our several episode series dealing with the Bainbridge Island Metro Park and Recreation District, what it is, its history, some of the new exciting things happening right now and over the next several months. In this series, we'll focus on the many special events and programs that happen in the parks. We'll discuss the wide array and unique recreational opportunities that exist on over 1,500 acres of parks, trails, and open spaces on the island. I'm happy to welcome back Don Jano. Don, welcome back.
Thank you, Bob. Nice to be here.
It's great to have you, and you are board chair of the Park Commissioners. And Don, you brought a special guest. Please introduce.
I did, Bob. I brought our executive director, Mr. Terry Landy.
Thank you.
He's been with us for 18 years, Terry?
Just over 18 years, yes.
That's incredible.
There are days where it does feel incredible.
Terry, 18 years.
Yes.
What, you know, I guess the first question I have for you is why parks? What drew you to the business of parks?
When I was in fifth grade, my father built, he was a contractor, and he built a local park and recreation center. And I decided that day, I helped work on it as a fifth grader, as a 10-year-old. But I couldn't go into it until I got to eighth grade. That was the rules. And so when I got into it, I spent a lot of time at this recreation center and decided at that time that this is what I wanted to do when I grew up, is be in charge of it. So it started way early.
Well, that's deep. Where was it?
In Moscow, Idaho, northern Idaho.
Oh, okay. So you've been a Western person most of your life?
I've lived in Idaho for 23 years, Oregon for 28 years, and Washington for 18 years.
So you've been here 18 years.
Yes.
And so what's the sequence of things that got you to parks?
The sequence is I graduated from the University of Idaho, which happens to be in Moscow, and decided I wanted to—I was a park and recreation degree, and decided I wanted to go somewhere on the western side of the country, more to the coast. I like the coast. And my cousin called and said, there's a job in Eugene, Oregon, if you've ever been there, and there's a nice job there. You should apply for it. So I did, and I got the job in a youth sports group. It's a nonprofit group that ran youth sports in Eugene. And I got the job and worked there for 6 years, which seemed like a lifetime. And after 6 years there, then I switched to public recreation, went to work for a public recreation agency, a park district in Springfield, Oregon, called the Willamalling Park and Recreation District. Those two things gave me my basis for continuing on into recreation. When I worked at Kids Sports, is what it was called, I was taking money from people so their kid could play competitive sports, and then putting out referees and coaches and volunteers and things. And I took their money and their kids in a competitive atmosphere. And after 6 years, I realized that's not something I wanted to pursue completely. Yeah. I wanted to be a little bit further away from that part of it. So I went to work for Willamalling. Worked there for exactly 20 years. And after 20 years, we had a new executive director there. And I was the runner-up, if you will. And they wanted to go a different direction than I wanted to go. And so I realized that maybe it was time for me to move on. And so we started to look for jobs, and over a period of a couple, 3 years, this job opened up on Bainbridge, and we drove up and checked it out and spent maybe three or four trips up here before we got interviewed and decided it was for us. And so we moved up here, took the job and moved up here 18 years ago.
Ah, okay. Wow. That's quite a story.
Yeah. It was a great trip. It was a nice voyage for us to come up here. Yeah. We're very happy we moved here. My youngest daughter had just graduated, or my middle child had just graduated from high school. So both of our older two kids were out on their own. And it was a good time to move somewhere else.
Make a move, yeah.
Our third daughter is she has a disability, and so she was happy with whatever we went. She was just happy to do something. Yeah. And she was happy with the move, so made this change, and we've been thrilled with it ever since.
Don, I think it might be important to give our listeners kind of an overview of the structure, how it works. Mm. You know, we have the commissioners, the park commissioners. We have Terry as executive director of the parks. What is the structure? What's the hierarchy?
Okay, so essentially Terry runs the entire show. And under Terry, he's got various program directors, recreation side, programming side, and
administration, parks, and recreation, three division directors.
Three division directors. Oh. And so then Terry oversees those. The role of the five commissioners, the board, is to just provide guidance and some oversight. But essentially, Terry is the person who runs the entire organization. So we provide leadership and guidance, but Terry's involved with all of the operations, the day-to-day, everything that you see is this man sitting here.
The board sets policy, and I follow the policy. Otherwise, I'm out.
He's hung on this long. He's doing all right.
I'm surviving.
You know, I moved here a little over 5 years ago, well, I guess 6 years ago now, from northern New Mexico. And the first thing I think that I was so impressed with were the parks and the amount of open space available to people. I mean, you drive around the island, and there's lots of open space.
Yes, there is.
Then you start digging deep. You look for trails to hike. You look for water to have access to. You look for activities to do. You look for things to do when your grandkids come to visit from the East Coast. And it's amazing to me, 1,500 acres.
Yeah.
And the trail system is just mind-blowing.
Yeah. I think the good news for the people on Bainbridge Island is that it started 40, 45 years ago when the park district began, and their first idea was let's save land. Let's put away some land for trails and for recreational uses. And so it's been kind of the overriding theme since day one of the district to provide that service. And I think we've done a good job of that. Not the first park director, but in the last 40 years, there's only been three park directors.
Oh.
Before me was Dave Lewis. He was here for 5 years. And before that was Chuck Fields. He was here for just right at 18 years. So there's been pretty good continuity through there to really push for parks and trails and open spaces. It's been an overriding theme.
And in the first of our series, Emily was here, brought in the new map of the trails and other areas, I guess, on that. And I've had it spread out on the kitchen table, checking out places I haven't been to yet that I need to get to.
Uh-huh.
And one is the very northern part of the island where I think, Dawn, we talked about it a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's the road that you go into Bloedel Reserve on. I can't even remember the name of it.
The Northport Madison.
Westport Madison.
Westport Madison.
Westport Madison.
But that sounds like a wonderful place.
It is beautiful.
And
it's really beautiful.
We're looking forward to go there and to explore some.
Have you been to Blakely Harbor yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I think what you're seeing, too, in that map is, again, a culmination of a lot of the work that Terry's done and the groundwork and the trust that his staff has in him and his ability to really guide this agency as we've grown and changed.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a question I have for you. How, in your 18 years, you've obviously seen a lot of change. And how does that really work? I mean, how does the district expand? How does it acquire places that you can have trails in?
And let your imagination run. Every which way possible. We collaborate with the Land Trust. We collaborate with the Park Foundation. Those are our two primary agencies that we work with.
Uh-huh.
But we've also had donations of Moritani Park, just straight up, here's a donation of a park.
Yeah.
Red Pine Park, straight up donation. Here's a park that's already completed. We had a person that donated $1 million to buy the 10 acres around Strawberry Hill Dog Park for bicycling and for expansion of the dog park, where just a generous person on the island said, here's $1 million to buy that land. And then we've also participated in putting money towards property. We were oftentimes work with the foundation or the land trust where we'll put in $400,000 or $500,000 into a project, save up money for a couple of years and put it towards a project of a purchase of land. So it's every which way. We also have land from the school district. Sands Ball Field is an agreement with the school district to use. So we try to use just about every method possible.
Yeah, and Fort Ward Park and Fay Bainbridge, maybe you can speak to that a bit.
Well, what was that? 10, 12 years ago. We worked with the state park system and had them donate, turn over to us, Fay Bainbridge and Fort Ward Park, which were two state parks at the time. We thought we could do a better job than they were doing because it was kind of during the recession of 2008 to 2010.
Yeah.
And they got transferred to us, and we've definitely done a great job with those two parks.
Are discussions like that a little dicey sometimes? I mean, when you're talking with the state parks and the local thing?
Everything that we do is dicey. You have to be very careful. You have to be respectful. Mm-hmm. You try to work with them to see the benefits to what the outcome would be. And so far, that's worked real nicely. Whether it's working with the foundation, the land trust, a private donor, or with the state parks, we try to treat everybody pretty much the same. Try to treat them with respect and show them how that will benefit the island.
Sure.
Because our business is taking care of the residents on this island and provide them the best recreation and park system that we can do.
Yeah. How do you balance resources you have available? You know, your staff, basically, yep. and the money to support them, and new donations. I mean, how is that always a challenge of working through that, looking for opportunities to expand your staff if you need it, mm-hmm. Or look for money for developing programs?
Well, from 2008 to 2021, we had the exact same number of full-time staff. We didn't increase ever. I think it was 42 was the constant number. But what we learned to do is that every time we have an opening, we don't automatically fill the position. What we do is we check with all the managers and say, what is it we need today? What are we going to need in the next 2 years? Mm-hmm. And then we may have to redo that job description to find a position or put it together a position that will allow somebody to apply for the job that helps us into the future. So we've been doing that for 13 years. The lid lift in 2021 has allowed us to finally expand our resources with staff.
Yeah.
This next year for 2022, we'll have some additional positions that we've never had before that are critical to the future of the agency. And, you know, we went from 20 miles of trails to 42 miles of trails in that 13 years. We went from 1,200 acres to 1,600 acres during that 13 years. We accepted probably 10 or 12, 14 new parks during that time period, but we kept the same core staff people. I think that's one of the things that folks need to know about is that the staff that work in the field, whether it be in the recreation side or the park side, are so committed to the island and providing the best service that they can provide. It's really a great team effort on their part.
Yeah. What are some of the challenges you've had in your 18 years here?
COVID-19. There's one challenge. That's been the huge challenge in my last 45 years.
Did that affect your staff quite a bit?
Absolutely. There was a time when, if you remember, 18 months, 2 years ago, we shut down all parks. We couldn't allow people into the parks. But what we did is we left the trails open. I think people discovered their local trails and local parks and really took to them. But staff had to make changes every day to what we were doing. The governor would change the rules, and so we'd have to close recreation programs. He'd close indoor programs. We have to close off those. We might go through three or four renditions of programming before we actually launched a program based upon the changes that COVID-19 was causing us to make.
Yeah.
So that was the biggest change. But there's all kinds of challenges. You know, everybody has an opinion.
Sure.
And you have to address all those opinions and listen, pay attention, try to never let your ego get in the way. Try to lead the correct way.
Sure.
Let people have a say. But at the end of the day, you have to make decisions. And so you make the best decision you can make and you hope it goes well. You run it by enough people. Usually your decision's pretty good.
How about volunteer opportunities for the local residents?
We have lots. We have volunteers at the pool. We have volunteers in almost every aspect of the park district. The biggest groups where we get volunteers is in our special events and also in a lot of our invasive species removal programs.
Oh, yeah.
We have a lot of groups who go out and remove ivy out of parks and that sort of thing and cleaning up the parks. that's a never-ending process. So we use a lot of volunteers for that.
How do people who are interested in volunteering get access to that? Do they go to your website?
Go to the website. Call just about anybody that you know in the Park District. Phone numbers are on the website. Call me. I'll put you in touch with the right people. 206-384-3893. Call that number. That'll get you to the right people.
I think that number's on your new map, too, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it is.
Yeah. I don't doubt that. The other thing I want to mention about volunteers is another way to be a volunteer is to serve on our committees. We have a lot of committees that we have.
Oh,
we have
cool.
A dog committee. We have a trails committee. We have board members who get elected who they're volunteers. They don't get paid for anything than the amount of time that they put in, and they lead the agency. Yeah. So there's a lot of different aspects to volunteerism.
Don, let me go back to you about that, about how the commissioners work in their tenure. I know it's pretty structured.
Yeah, we have a 6 years are our terms, mm-hmm. and which is a really nice term. And the composition of the board right now is really nice. We've got a really nice balance of some folks who have a ton of experience who've been on the board for about almost 20 years. In fact, I think you're going to get to speak with one of them at one of the next podcasts. Ken DeWitt can tell you the history. He's been around for a lot of the Correct. Different parks. And then Jay Kinney has been on the board, I think, about 8 years. I was the relatively new one. I've been on the board for about 2.5 years. And now we have an interim whose name is Asaf Glosser. And so we span a couple of different generations and ages. We could use some younger folks, I think, on the board. But I think it's a really nice cross-section of people who really respect each other and who are interested in doing the best work they can for the agency.
Yeah.
I really feel quite honored to work with these fellow commissioners.
Oh, okay. Great. And these are elected positions?
They are elected positions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we've got an election coming up. There are three positions up. Two are running unopposed, and then there's a third one.
Great. Well, and kind of wrapping things up, Terry, we've learned a lot about you.
Thank you.
In our short time here, some really wonderful things. And I would imagine there are a lot of things that come to mind in terms of sort of special or unique or really exciting things that you've been a part of.
Here. Absolutely. The day-to-day stuff is the most fun stuff.
Yeah.
But turning the park district into a metro park district, which made a huge change in the way we were funded, where we didn't have to go out for an election every other year.
Oh.
That was a huge change in 2005, I believe. And the lid lift in 2008 was another huge change. It allowed us to really move forward and really take on some new projects and take on some things. Taking on the state parks, getting Faye Bainbridge and Fort Ward, just a wonderful addition to the park system. And then working with some of the volunteers who are donated or the people who have donated the Moritani Park and Red Pine Park and those kinds of things has just been wonderful, just exciting to work with. The pickleball courts, nice delivery. Really has shown why we built them. I mean, they're just used wonderfully. That's another one I would say. Getting to work with, we have such impassioned board members. Getting to work for them, it's made this a real treat for me. And the reason I've been here 18 years is because it's been a wonderful place to work, and mainly because of the board members that have been involved.
Terry, thank you for joining us today.
It's been my pleasure.
Mine as well. And Don, thank you for bringing Terry to the table.
Anytime. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for joining us today on this edition of What's Up Bainbridge, brought to you by BARN, Bainbridge Artisan Resource Network.